Dear Heavenly Father, as we finish this year, help us, Lord, as we reminisce and go back and enjoy the blessings that 2019 has and look forward to 2020. We pray, Lord, that we would look at it rightly. It's just one more stage in our pilgrimage, one more place in our journey. Not a place to stay, but a place to move forward from. And we pray, Lord, that we would look at this year as another blessing from you and another gift from you to grow and to become more like Christ. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, goodbye one more year. The last Sunday of 2019. As we look forward to 2020, it's hard to believe that one-fifth of a century has come by since the year 2000, that just yesterday it seems like we were watching Y2K, and now we're coming into 2020. And how much has happened in your and my life in the past 20 years? And Angie and I were talking just this week as we were getting ready for Christmas, and I was looking at her and just rejoicing in her, and I asked her, when you married me, or when we met, would you ever have imagined your life would turn out the way it is? You know, every young kid has dreams of how life is going to end, and I had my dreams of what was going to happen in my life. And I look back now and I say, it isn't at all like what I thought it would be. It's better, but it's very different than what I expected. And now I still have to look forward, and we look at the next year, and I'm sure all of you have expectations, dreams of what's to come. And you look back at the past and we wonder what to do with it. So today I want to look at the past, what we shouldn't do with it, and what we should. How do we use the past correctly? The past is written in stone. You can't change one atom, one second, one thought, one word of what happened in your past. And many people go through life with that baggage saying, oh, if I wish I could have changed that. I wish I could have done something different with my past. So the verse we read today in Philippians chapter 3 is a very, very important verse for all of us, because God calls us to leave our baggage behind. He says in verse 12, he says, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or reached it. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul says here that the ultimate goal of the past is basically to forget it. But before we let it go and before we forget it, we need to use it the way God wants us to, so that we can leave it in the past where it belongs without it negatively affecting our future. So what do you not do? How are we not to treat the past? And I want to give you some points here. The first one is, don't boast and rest in your success. Some of you did very, very well in 2019. And 2018 and 2017. Some of you grew immensely. Some of you had great victories in those years. And you could take the temptation, and many do, of, I've done it. I've reached where it's like a quarterback who says, I have 5 Super Bowl trophies. I've arrived. But there's always the current Super Bowl. There's always the next game. Or the next stage in life. And if we stay with our past successes and say, I've made it, I'm so good because of what I did in my past, what about the rest of your life? See, Paul, in the same chapter in Philippians, showed how that looks. He says in verse 4 of chapter 3, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if anyone thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so, circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul says, if I wanted to boast on the things of my past, I could do it. I was it. I was up and coming. I was in the Sanhedrin. I was taught by Gamaliel, one of the top theologians of the Jewish faith. I was on the top council. I was there. I was all these things. The important word there is was. See, because Paul can say, I was all these things, but I want you to notice how he finishes that. He said in verse 7, but what things were past gain to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. As indeed I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, count them as dung, so I may know Christ better. Let me ask you, what have you done that's been wonderful in the past few years? What have you done that you could boast about? You've written songs, you've built houses, you've done all these things, and they've made you great, but that has a was on it. What about now? Too many people boast and rest in their success, like, I've arrived. If that's true, if you could just rest in your past, just end it. You got a future. And your future is to be growth, more knowledge of Christ, more growth. No matter what you are, the next year should be a banner year. It's all up to you through God. So don't rest on your past success. Secondly, don't be discouraged by your failures. Some of you had a pretty lousy 2019. Some of you had a 2019 where things you tried and tried with all your heart didn't work. And you fell to the ground and you found yourself out with no position, no money, no whatever. And the temptation is to, I am a failure. There's a big difference between I failed at something and I am a failure. See, if you look at 3:6 of Philippians, the verse we already looked at where Christ was saying, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is the law, blameless. But I want you to read 1 Corinthians 15:9 along with it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 9. Says this. It says, for I am the least of the apostles. I who am not worthy to be called an apostle. Why? Because I persecuted the church. What he had previously looked at as a success, all of a sudden he saw as a failure. And many of us are in that situation where something we thought was going to work out for good, something that we were looking forward to, when you look back on the past, you say, boy, that fell apart. And you're down, and you've got no money, and you've got no job, and you've got no place, and you've got no visible future, and you're discouraged. And sometimes it comes right after a great success. Look at the case of Elijah. Elijah had just called fire down from heaven and then destroyed all the prophets of Baal. And then Jezebel comes along and says, tomorrow, you're dead. And so Elijah books it and he runs out in the wilderness and he's so discouraged, he wants God to kill him. And I've always smiled and laughed at that because he was one of two people in the Bible who never died. Enoch and Elijah. And he wanted God to kill him. Boy, you don't understand your future. Your future is to be carried up in a chariot directly to heaven. Don't pass go. Don't collect $200. You're not going to even die. and you're feeling suicidal because of your past. Because what you thought was your greatest success became a great failure because Jezebel decided she was going to chase you. And Elijah was discouraged. And Elijah was feeling alone. "There's no one else but me!" He cried out to God from the cleft of the rock. And God said, "No, you're not alone. I've got bunches that haven't bowed their knee to Baal, and you'll have Elisha, and you're going to continue, and then I'm going to take you up." No matter what happened to you in 2019, if you stay there, you're defeated. God's promises are still in effect. 2020 can be wonderful. Do not be discouraged by your failure. Don't become bitter from offenses. How many of you are carrying, and you've got to ask yourself, how many of you are carrying now an offense that somebody did to you 1 year ago, 10 years ago? "That person hurt me. That person really hurt me." And sometimes they didn't even mean to. It was just thoughtlessness. And you're carrying that around on top of you, and it's suffocating you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. As we look at that verse, it says, "Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled." He says, watch out for those roots of bitterness. You know, nobody was more offended, if you're talking objectively, than Christ. What did they do to Christ? They falsely accused him. They falsely tried him. They illegally tried him. The guy who was trying him, Pilate, knew he was innocent, knew he was totally innocent. His wife told him, "Don't deal with this man that way. I suffered of him in a dream." And he says, "I find no fault in this man." He took him out. He sent him to be crucified, to be hung like a common criminal. And everybody looked at him. And what did Christ say? "Oh, you guys offend me." No. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I've had my people who have offended me. It's not worth carrying with you. They can't change it. It's in the past. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:8, "Love covers a multitude of sins." We have that as our memory verse. It doesn't say it brings them up. It says it covers them. Now, we should actually seek forgiveness where someone is actually reconciled. But if they don't want to reconcile, "Well, they don't want my forgiveness, so I'm just going to hold this grudge." No. The one who's being tied up is you. They've gone on with their lives. They're not thinking of you probably any more than they think of the ant they stepped on last week. But you got them in your mind, and you're thinking about them. And every time you see them enjoying themselves, your teeth grit. And it forms a root of bitterness. And what happens with roots of bitterness is that those around you, it says here in that verse in Hebrews 12, 15, they also are hurt. Because when you're bitter, it shows. And it poisons your other relationships, and that root grows into a plant. Don't become bitter through offense. Don't deny the truth of it. A lot of us just want to bury it and say, "No, it never happened." The past, good, bad, ugly, in between, the past, your past, happened. It's part of what made you you. And I think of the case of Saul, King Saul, in 1 Samuel 15, 13 and 14, where he's there and the prophet had said, "Kill them all, kill all the Amalekites." And all their animals too. And he's, well, I saved Agag, the king. First he says, though, I did all that you commanded me, Samuel. Glory be to God, I did what you commanded me. And what did Samuel tell him? What's that bleating of sheep that I hear? Well, I saved the best of the sheep for sacrifice to the Lord. God didn't say that. God said, kill them. No, 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 no. Don't deny the truth of what you did. If your past has skeletons, don't hide those skeletons. Don't try and hide them from God. God knows those skeletons. Don't deny the truth of your failures. And don't blame some others for it. Oh, the people told me to do this. The people wanted Agag spared. No. Don't blame others. Oh, we're so good at that. Our whole government, our whole country is so good at that. I'm the victim because my ancestors were enslaved by your ancestors. Well, it's true, it happened. We don't deny the truth of the ugliness both in our personal life and our country's life. Yes, there was horrible things called slavery. But you know what? I am not the victim of anything. I am a child of God through Jesus Christ. And this is not a new thing. It started all the way back in Genesis. You all know it, don't you? Genesis chapter 3, verse 12. Did you eat of the fruit, Adam? That woman you gave me. She gave to me and I ate. That woman, you, God, gave me. Oh, it's so easy to blame. No, yes, I did it. But I did it because of them and because of this and because I'm the victim here. None of us are the victim. If anyone had the opportunity to be a victim, it was our Lord Jesus Christ, persecuted from the moment he was born, persecuted. His parents had to run to Egypt, comes back and they move to Nazareth where nothing good comes out of. Lousy town. He grew up in a terrible neighborhood where nothing good comes out of. Yeah, does anything good come out of, you know, the bad spots of Reynosa? He could blame everybody. His brothers hated him. His brothers thought he was crazy. And then all the things we talked about. Christ was the ultimate victim, but Christ never acted like it. When it came to his crucifixion, he says in John chapter 12, I put down my life and I take it up again. We cannot, my boss, my this, my that, the teacher. Don't blame others for where you are. In the end, you are where, one of two places, either where God wants you to be because you followed his will, or where you are because you decided not to. And God can use you from there. Do not be a victim. So what do we do with our past as we forget it? The first thing is use it for your testimony. Recount God's great and wondrous works in his deliverance. We can read Psalm 40, verses 1 and 2. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also from where? From my past, from the horrible pit, from the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings, and he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. King David was saying, I have a past that was filled with miry clay in a horrible pit, and I was drowning up to my neck. And you can read some of the Psalms where it talks about that. I was in a horrible situation, and I prayed and I waited patiently for the Lord, and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and then God heard my cry and he pulled me up out of that. And it wasn't an easy pull. And then he didn't just pull me out and set me on another pit. He pulled me out and he put my feet on a rock and he said, "This is the way you go." And he gave me joy and he gave me a new song. Paul was the same thing. Paul says, "I was thinking I was great. I was thinking I was amazing. I was this king of the Jews. I was a leader and a Pharisee." And then I was struck blind on the Damascus Road, and Jesus showed me that I'd been terrible when I thought I was great. And it was Jesus who you can do all things with through in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Use your testimony. God, where was God when you failed? How did he bring you out of your failure? How, when you were at the bottom of your pit, did he pull you out? The past is where we all were when we were lost. And God saved us. So use it to tell others of the great and wonderful and glorious works of God and his deliverance. The second thing to do with your past is confess it. You always hear about confessing sin, but it's more than just confessing sin. Confession, the Greek word confession, means to see it as God sees it, to tell it like God sees it. In its good things and its bad, it's used in both ways. When you're sinning, and you come to confess it before God, it means you see it the way he sees it. It's not some little sin. No matter how small it looks to be, it's the kind of sin that grabbed a hammer and put a nail through Christ's wrist on the cross. It's one of the scenes in that impactful Passion of the Christ movie that Mel Gibson did. One of my favorite scenes as far as touching me and teaching me was the scene where you see Christ's wrist with a nail being pounded through it. And the reason it's so impactful to me is Mel Gibson, who directed and wrote the film and had it done, he said, that hand, the hand of the Roman soldier that hit the nail into the wrist of Christ, he says, I want to do that scene. That's going to be my hand. And so Mel Gibson took that hammer, and when you see that hammer come down on the hand of Christ, that's Mel Gibson's hand saying, my sins put him there. He personalized that movie by saying, I'm going to tell it like it is. That, quote, little white lie, that small fudging of the truth, that little thing that I did that didn't honor my parents, that small this, that, or the other, which I consider nothing. It's just that, who did it hurt? Hammer, nail, wrists of Christ. That's who it hurt, if it hurt nobody else. So when we confess our sins, we take our sins, no matter how trivial they seem, and we put them before Christ and we say, this is what it is. This is what you died for. I'm telling it honestly. I'm not making it less. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But it's not just the past that's evil that we confess. We need to be honest about our victories and our good things, because we need to remember that's not us. Without me, John 15:5, Christ says we can do nothing. If you had success in 2020, there's nothing that you did that Christ didn't give you the power and the ability and situation to do. So take your past, take the blame. The blame is yours, the blame is mine, the credit is his. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Third thing to do with your past is learn from it. How can it help? There's the anecdote of Edison when he was inventing or trying to work on the light bulb. And he failed 900 some odd times. And he wasn't discouraged. He said, now I know 900 ways not to make a light bulb. Every one of them taught him something. We're to learn from our past. Learn from our mistakes. Paul said this in the same book of Philippians chapter 4. He said, as he's sitting in jail, he says, I have learned in whatever state, verse 11, every state I am, therewith to be content. I have learned how to abound. I've learned how to be abased. I've learned how to do with little. I've learned how to do with much. It's not something that came natural. He learned by examining the past, examining what God did, and going forward and learning from it. There's a country song. I don't agree with the whole country song because it tells us that it basically tells us we should do this. But the refrain says, "How can I ever be old and wise if I'm not young and crazy?" Now, yeah, we all start out young and crazy. Now the song says, "I'm gonna be young and crazy so that later I can be old and wise," and I don't like that. But the fact of the matter is, if I'm wise and I am getting old, it's because I learned from the young, stupid things I did. It's called experience. A lot of people don't learn from their experience and they still do the dumb, stupid things in their 60s and 70s and 80s. How can it help my future? What does the past has taught me? Next, pray for grace and wisdom. You come into the past, you look at the past and look where it's landed. You do what David did in Psalm 40. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. In James 1:5 it says, if you lack wisdom, ask the Lord who gives without reproach. You say, I've made a mess of my past. Lord, teach me from it. Let me learn about my future. And once you've done that, once you've gotten your testimony from it, once you've confessed it, both its positive and its negative parts, once you've learned from it, once you've prayed the Lord for wisdom, then do what Paul says, leave it behind. You can't change it. It's not going to do anything for you to stay there. You can't stay there. Every day it's further in the rearview mirror. So do what Paul says. Forget it. Don't let it slow you down. You've gotten all the juice you can from it. Leave it in the past. God has forgiven it. God has given you the benefits of the experience. You've got a race ahead of you. Ephesians 2:10, you know, he says he's created you for good works that he prepared beforehand that you would walk therein. There are good works still waiting for you. There are new goals still waiting for you. 2020 is ahead. We don't know if we're going to make it all the way through the end of 2020, but as far as we make it, we can make it good. So don't let it pull you back. Cut that rope. Let that suitcase fall into the ditch and run. God has a high calling for you, it says in Philippians 3:14. I press towards the goal of the prize of the high or the upward call in Christ Jesus, of God in Christ Jesus. And he tells us, this isn't just me, he says in verse 15, therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. He says, this isn't just my goal, this is my goal for all of you. And I don't care if you're 20 or 80. Moses, when he was about, he must have been around 80 when he wrote Psalm 90. He says, oh, it's been a hard life. And man gets to 70 or 80, and at 80 with battle and struggle, and And then he says, teach us to count our days, to number our days, Psalm 90:12, that we may apply our heart to wisdom. And I don't think he knew what he was even asking, because about at that point in his life, God found him on the desert with his father-in-law's sheep. and nothing in his hand but a staff. And Moses' ministry started when he was 80 and went on for another 40 years. And all the glory that happened through the life of Moses, the parting of the Red Sea and the plagues in Egypt and the wandering through the wilderness and the receiving of the Ten Commandments and all the things that Moses did, he did after he had said, oh, my life is just about over at 80. And I am only 63. I read a little article on Facebook, well, it was posted on Facebook, the oldest married couple in the United States. He's 103, she's 105. They've been married for 80 years. I thought I was doing good. Tomorrow's my 42nd wedding anniversary, and I thought I was doing good. I've only been married half as long as they have. Thought I could have another 40 years ahead of me. That guy was 80 years married. I don't think there are very few people who are 80 years alive, like Moses said. But the best part can still be ahead. I press on, I press forward to the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. 2019, goodbye. I've learned from you. I've grown from you. I've failed in you. I've succeeded in you. I've learned from you. Now get off the cliff and give me 2020. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this year. We thank you for all the joy you've given us, for all the grace that we've learned. And we pray, Lord, as we go into the new year, that we would be like the writer of Amazing Grace, who started as a slave trader and a wretch and came to you and had victory. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now praise.